The loss shines once again.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hi there.
Greetings.
For the good of all.
Thrumkar.
Hi there.
Our destiny awaits.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
Greetings.
Hello, and welcome to Control Alt WoW, the podcast for those of us who love World of Warcraft and love making many alts. Today is Sunday, May 11th, 2008, and this is episode 62, entitled Running Lower Level Instances for Fun and Profit. I'm Aprilian, your host, and with me is my co-host, Lasheo. Hello, Lasheo.
Hey, everyone. Happy Mother's Day.
Hey, happy Mother's Day.
Did your doggies give you a present?
Yeah, they did. They gave me a hub for SD card. A reader for my
cool.
SD card. Yeah, because I got a lot of digital cameras, and it's nice to... Well, I got a couple. Three. And it's nice to pick them out. All right, so let's get started. Okay, so Children's Week is over. That was a lot of fun.
Yep.
Yeah, is it always right before Mother's Day? I didn't notice that before.
I don't know. Good question.
Yeah.
Probably is. I mean... you know, it goes for a week, and Mother's Day is the same Sunday in the month every year. So
interesting. I didn't do the Outland one on Real Fire. It's just too much trouble to get to. I hadn't been to Zangarmarsh, so.
Oh, it's a pretty easy run, though.
Really?
Yeah.
I keep getting lost.
Too late now. You'll be 70. He'll be 70 when you do it next year, won't he?
Yeah, and then he'll have to go out to North End to do it the third time.
I'd be very surprised if they added it out there. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a preview that was supposed to be on Friday on X-Play. I don't know if you have it over there, but you can get it on iTunes. There's the chick from the show, Morgan Webb, was supposed to go to Blizzard and get a special preview of Wrath of the Lich King. And I had my DVR all set, my replay TV all set to record it. And we were sitting down to watch it today, and it turns out they're postponing it till Monday. It was funny because my husband, I was like, okay, all right, this segment has to be it. I sat through all this stupid Wii stuff, and this segment has to be it, but no, it wasn't. So I didn't get Egbert, and I wish I had. Did you get Egbert?
Yeah, I got Egbert. I've got all of them now. Cause, you know, having five toons that can get them. It's
did you get the?
I've made sure I got them all.
Did you get the Elec? Does
yep.
he do anything?
He's cute.
Does he do anything?
No, not that I really noticed.
Because I know the rat plays dead. I guess the turtle and the other one from Ogrimmar doesn't do anything. What's the other one? Turtle, rat, and... Oh, wow.
Oh, I can't remember.
I know.
It was last week.
I know. And I heard that Egbert shoots rays out of its eye sometimes.
Yeah, at critters. I haven't actually seen him do it, but yeah.
Fine. Oh, well.
I believe that he does do it.
I just thought it'd be cute to have a baby elephant, or Elec, since, you know, I'm not a Draenei. It was on my, on Rillia, my troll. So, how have you been doing?
Yeah, good. I hate using the phrase because... it probably comes across as an insult to your mode of gameplay, but I felt I was rather scatterbrained in my achievements this week. I seem to be all over the place.
Welcome to my world. But, you know, as long as you're having fun, did you have fun?
That's right. Yeah. I had lots of fun.
Okay. Yep. Do you want to go first with what we've been doing? Or?
All right. I'll go first.
Okay.
I think I went first last week,
yeah.
But hey, what the hey. So I've actually spent quite a bit of time in Underbog this week. Done it twice on in heroic mode to get some badges and some rep for some guildies that we're trying to get exalted with Cenarion, because there's some nice rep rewards there for tanks. Healing heroics is nice and challenging. I like it when there's a shadow priest there to help me out a bit.
So you were going in with shield and a shield?
No, it's heroic modes needs 70, so I was just going in with Jekyll.
Oh, okay.
And healing, yeah.
Oh.
Just dual boxing heroics, not yet. Mm. I need to be really on top of things, especially as a healer. If you don't underboggers, there's beasts which can be controlled fairly easily, but there's pools of three elementals, and unless you've got a warlock to banish one, you don't really have much crowd control, and they're pretty ripe for wiping, which we did a few times. But that's all right. We got there in the end. Got lots of badges, got lots of rep. It was good.
And
lots of fun.
These badges are for what specifically? Excuse my newbie ignorance.
So at level 70, you can actually use them to buy things, epic items, basically. There's a badge vendor in Shadrath that's typically been there so that with all the badges you get from Karazhan, etc., you can hand in and get some fairly nice items, actually. And now that we've got the new content out on the new aisle, there's a badge vendor out there that some very nice gear. Unfortunately, you need like 100 badges to get some of the stuff, and so
this is apart from this is apart from Elder and Squire rep and so it's basically a 70s game now, huh?
Yes, yeah. I mean, all the content they keep adding is for 70s. You know, all the dailies are for 70s, and these end game dungeons. They're making it so that as a 70, you've got as much access to as much of the game as possible, which is the way I like it. I mean, because I'm not a hardcore raider, and I don't think I'd ever get to Black Temple. Having Black Temple on farm status and doing all that stuff, certainly not before the Lynchkin comes out. So yeah, I like it. It's good.
Good. So
and Underbog, I also did in normal mode, and I tanked it on a shield. So it was my first serious go at tanking in a instance of my level with a your standard in air quotes five man party, and it went really well.
So you've done an Underbog with a shield. And you've done
with Jekyll.
You've never done it with a shale? No, I'm not saying. I'm talking about in the past altogether.
Yeah. They've all been in there. But it seems like I must have done it like four times this week, and that's fairly unusual for me to do an instance, a high level instance, more than once in a week.
I just wondered how it felt with different characters, with the different, like Ashale's a warlock, so she was doing mostly crowd control probably and stuff, and then and then healing with
Jekyll,
and then
tanking with a shield.
You're awesome.
Yeah, I've been all over the place.
How was the shield?
So on the bright side, it's like as the tank, I was the party leader and had to mark things up, and because I'd just been through there, it's like I knew all the pools, so it was kind of handy. So that was good. It was kind of a good combination to have been through there on a high level and do it in heroic, and then go back in normal mode and tank something for the first time.
Cool.
And I spent a couple of days this week doing dailies. I've I I thought, oh, I'll see how many dailies I can actually do in one day, because typically I've only been doing like, you know, five or six. So I headed out on a show and I did 21 of the 25 dailies.
Wow.
It's fairly time consuming. I tend to avoid all the dailies that have low drop rates, because I mean there's just, you know, better things to do with the time than you know, just doing a quest for the sake of being able to do it as a daily when there's low drop rates on it.
But do you get some other benefit, because you must get some kind of vendor trash that or something else while you're out there, because you're not getting XP, you know. Get XP anymore.
No, that's right.
But
yeah, you get other drops.
You get any greens or blues?
Yeah, and you get plenty of loot. Okay. But I mean, money's not really an issue anymore. As a 70, you know, making gold's not really an issue. I mean, it's something that makes me laugh when you're standing around in a major city and you see in Trade Channel, you know, looking for 70 to run me through SFK, you know, I'll give you 5 gold. It's like, okay, SFK is going to take me half an hour. In half an hour, I could do about, you know, 10 dailies and make 80 gold.
Oh, that's funny.
And you're offering me 5. Yeah, mm. It's just an insult.
I don't even think they get it.
Yeah. No, it's like, nah, forget about it. And also with the dailies, of course, you know, as dual boxing with Jekyll and Hyde, you know, I'm not going to do the quests where I've effectively got to do it twice. So there's like there's one where you've got to get a kill Naga to get keys to open lock boxes to get ore out of it, and it's like, you know, I've effectively got to do that twice, and the keys are a low drop rate anyway, so you know, I just don't do that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's plenty of daily quests where everyone in the party gets credit for a kill or for, you know, some other action. I just stick with those.
Can I interrupt here for a second to, mm-hmm. you know, every once in a while people should really check their key ring, because I forget that I had keys to stuff, and I happened to check my key ring and I found some keys that I could have used or would have been interesting or that I could use now. But have you, you know, your key ring is hidden.
Yeah, it's not something you're looking very
right,
often, is
yeah.
it?
Yeah, so if you're listening, yeah, you might want to check your key ring, see what you got. You never know, might be something good. The only person I check regularly is my, I have a level 38 rogue, Vale, and she can lockpick up to, I think, under 200. I think she needs to go, you get so many points every level, but because she's just an alt and I never use her, she's not leveling, yep. So she's not getting any more lockpicking skills. But she's also a blacksmith, so every once in a while I throw her a spare Arcanite bar, and she makes the Arcanite keys, and then she can do things up to 300, I think. She can open up to 300 with the Arcanite keys. So she's the only reason.
But doesn't that destroy the key?
Yeah, which is why she has to keep track of what's in her key ring.
Yeah, so you're throwing away an Arcanite bar on opening a box that you could get a rogue to open.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I guess that is kind of... No, but you get 2 keys per Arcanite bar. Ha-ha.
All right, okay.
Stupid moment of the week.
I'll let that pass.
Okay, go ahead. So what else have you been doing?
I've been you're a cracker. I've been out in Terrakar with a shield and practicing my AOE grinding for the which one is it? Is it the signets? You know, the scryer rep rings that you get from the Sun Fury dudes.
Okay.
I forget. There's like 2 levels. There's a lower level one and a higher level one. I forget which one's which, but I've been out at Firewing Point practicing my AOE and killing all those dudes out there and getting lots of rings.
Yeah, if anybody wants to see a video, it's up on the website, and we have a channel on YouTube, and your video of a shield and a shield that's really awesome is up there. But go ahead, sorry.
That's all right. Yeah, I'm trying to stick to the area where there's, you know, melee mobs, but every once in a while I'll accidentally pull a bunch of warlocks they don't run to me, and I die really quickly. So, yeah, it's a lot harder when there's casters around, but it's still, you know, very good experience, you know, XP wise, and building up rep for Scryer, which you need. I don't have any character yet that's exalted with Scryer or older. I just, you know, I'm just not into grinding them that way. It's like I'll hand in tomes and rings and things when I get them, but I guess I should. And especially now with the dailies, the rewards that you get out on the new aisle that you buy with the badges, there's some. I haven't actually looked in what it is, but there's you know, how items have, you know, special actions or special abilities. You know, there's ones where it only procs if you're actually exalted with Scryer or older. So, you know, they're starting to, you know, to give benefit to other areas of actually grinding rep rather than just being able to buy items off them. So sneaky buggers are forcing me to build up my rep with them. But so I'll probably get around there and do that one day. But yeah, it's not high on my priority list. And apart from that, I've been doing what the topic of this week's show is, and running low level instances. Bobo Shanty's a priest in the guild, and he wanted to see my two mages in actions. So we went out to Shadowfang Keep, and he didn't actually see much action actually in the instance, because he is just a machine in there. It's like I don't think I actually killed anything. I just spent 90% of my time trying to keep up with him and looting as many bodies, all the shinies on the ground.
Plus, Shadowfang Keep is really hard for door boxing. It's got a lot of tight corners.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of closing areas, isn't there? But he'd just run over, and he says, "Okay, I'll meet you three rooms up," and he'd just run through and aggro everything and gather them all up and bang bang bang, and they're dead.
What is he?
I'm madly running after him. He's a priest.
Oh.
So we did it ran through it three times. It seemed like about 10 minutes it took him to actually clear it out. So I got, and I was only level 17 at the time, so I couldn't even get the quest to get the head of that guy at the end. I can't remember what his name is. But when you hit level 18, there's a quest to get his head for a nice stamina ring. So I ran it three times, and I was only like, it was level 15 when we started, I think, and they got up to 17, and I kind of dinged 18 after we finished the third time. So I went back a couple of days later and ran them both through and completed the quest. So I've got a whole bunch of blues that I can't use. There's like, you know, blue shoulders and chest and weapons and things that I can't actually use till I'm level 20 or 22 or 23. So they're all sitting in the bank waiting me to level a bit further.
Yeah, you know, and I noticed that too when I was running my alleged twink hunter through there, that it's funny that they seem to have it just at 20 for the blue items. I wonder if they know that people would be trying to twink, and that's why it's
Definitely.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so the price of a blue level 19 compared to a blue level 20 is chalk and cheese. Because, you know, it's you want, you know, that's the start of the next bracket. It's useless for twinking. I think that's basically it. I don't think I actually ran those guys through any other. Might have done RFC once more, run them through there. So they're actually, I forced myself to went back to Ghostlands and quested a bit more and made them both Ding 20. So they're both just Ding 20, no rested XP, so I'll let them rest for a bit and get some rested XP. And now that they're 20, I can start working on their profession. So I'll get my enchanting and my engineering up as high as I can over the next couple of weeks as well.
Cool. I just like running instances with dual boxing or triple boxing.
With a high level and a low level.
Yeah, and just to experience everything. It's just, I don't know. It gives me more of a chance to see what's going on. You know, when you're with somebody, it's like you got to focus on the whole.
You can't kind of look around and rush.
Right.
You kind of feel like you're being rushed through it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's no fault. That's just the way it's done, but it's, you know.
Yeah. I love doing them as a warlock because, you know, I just get the void walker and stand right back and you know, click on something at the other side of the room and go, okay, void walker, you run all the way over there and aggro it, and then you kind of force him to run all around the room as aggroing as many mobs as you can, and then I just cast a couple of Seed of Corruptions, which you know how Seed of Corruption works. It causes shadow damage over time. And when that target takes a certain amount of damage, it's about 1,000 damage. When it takes that damage, it will do another 1,200 to 1,400 damage to all enemies in about 15-yard radius of it.
Okay. What level do you get this?
So, good question. Don't know. I'd have to look it up.
Okay.
So you send in your Voidwalker and round up as many mobs as you can and you know, cast a couple of Seed of Corruptions and then throw in a Shadow Bolt, and it just causes, you know, 2,000 damage to everything within 15 yards. So it's just like, you know, one hit and everything's dead. No, it's a very fast and effective way to clear out an instance. And you spend most of your time trying to click on all the shiny bodies on the ground to make sure that there's, you know, you haven't got a nice blue dagger that everybody wants.
Right, just sitting there.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Any further adventures with Key Clone?
Well, yeah. So I use Key Clone with the mages going through Shadowfang Keep. Haven't had to add any more macros or anything else. It's actually working the way I described it last week with that setup. That's working pretty well. A couple of times. I've managed to rotate because if you use the mouse to rotate a character, that only that character does it.
Right.
And then if you switch to start using the keyboard to like strafe or move backwards, they move in different directions, which causes a problem. So I just need to get out of the habit of doing some action that only causes one of them to do it, because that's when I get into trouble.
So basically, we can say that most dual boxers and triple boxers fall into two categories. The ones that use a lot of macros and the Key Clone type thing, and ones that just kind of do it crazy like me.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you run a couple of hunters at a time, so you could easily use Key Clone to have them both do the same thing.
Right.
But if you're triple boxing, you know, a hunter and a warlock and something else, then it's not really that. And you might be able to use it, but that's not really what it was used for. I mean, it's obviously been written so that if you've got three mages or three shamans or three whatever, you're getting them all to do the same thing at the same time. Because, I mean, you hit two and, if you've got an instant cast spell in there on one character and a 3-second spell on the second character, then you obviously you're not going to be able to spam it.
Right.
And, you know, there's different cooldowns on different spells. So, yeah, there's basically two sorts of dual boxes. There's the ones that are going to use Key Clone to drive, you know, multiple characters of the same class and get them to all do the same thing. And then there's ones like the way you do it and the way I do Jekyll and Hyde is, you know, the different classes and you're just driving, you know, two different tunes and it just happens to be one person that's driving them. And you know, if you get fast enough and efficient enough at it, you can do pretty much anything. It's very achievable. I mean, I've even... Jekyll gets quite bored because he doesn't really have to heal much. You know, Urkel the turtle, he's got a lot of armor. He doesn't really take, you know, you have to have a lot of mobs beaten on him before he's going to die quickly. So I got to the point of Hyde starting to attack and Urkel's attacking, and especially with a druid, because he's got so many heal over times so that you can just dot up a heal and then actually change into cat form and go and do some DPS as well just to mix it up.
That's
fun. And actually, Tark was encouraging me with the heroic underbog that I was healing a couple of nights ago. Tark's going, "What are you doing? You don't need to heal it," because we had a shadow priest in there as well. So, you know, the shadow priest is causing heals to the tank as well. So I'd throw in a couple of heals and then turn into cat form and run over and do some damage as well. So. It was a bit full on, but I didn't do that too much because it's pretty easy to get to lose control in a heroic dungeon.
Right, yeah.
It's fun.
Good drops?
Yeah, plenty. Yeah, a couple of nice upgrades of healing gear, and I've had a couple of nice purple gems in heroic mode. You get. Unfortunately, they're bind on pickup, so you can't give them to an alt.
Mm.
But there's some nice purple gems to socket gear that drop fairly regularly.
Now, have you heard about the latest controversy about the mining modes? Mining no longer giving gems, even just green gems?
Yeah, I heard about that. There was someone called into the instance on that, right?
Oh, I think so,
Yeah.
Have you mined?
And they were just asking. Yeah, I mean, I mine all the time. And it was like when that guy called in and said, "Hey, has anybody noticed this?" I went, "Oh, shit, hang on a minute. I haven't seen any green gems drop off mining for ages." Yeah. It's like I hadn't even really noticed. So it's official, is it?
I don't know. But, you know, I did get an arcane crystal the other day. But other than that, I haven't gotten much.
Yeah, but that's the Azeroth stuff.
Oh.
Right? They all still drop. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about.
It's just Outlands.
I haven't.
It's all the green level gems off the Outlands mining nodes.
Oh,
nodes.
Okay.
I haven't seen any of them drop, and it wouldn't really surprise me if they had changed this because.
You can get them from prospecting.
You get them from prospecting, exactly. Mm. So I could understand why they would do it when the Outlands, you know, first became accessible, because there's not that many jewel crafters around. You know, people aren't prospecting a whole lot of ore, and so you need to get some of those gems into the market.
Right.
But after a while, you're not going to need that anymore. And in fact, I haven't even sold those gems on the auction house for a long time because, you know, they got to a point where they were, you know, 50 to 80 silver each. It was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, so I was using, you know, jewel crafting just to cut them and, you know, give them away. Or, there was something that got added where you can join them together and get a random better quality gem. Mm. But, yeah, so it wouldn't surprise me at all if you know, they'd taken away the dropping of green gems from Outlands mining nodes.
Wow.
But hasn't really affected me. I kicked myself for not actually noticing that they weren't dropping anymore.
And of course, it doesn't affect me because I'm not really in the Outland yet. And speaking of that, I guess we can now talk about what I've been doing.
What have you been doing?
Well, you know, I got the bug to get Aprillian to 58 so she can go to Outland. And I've been focusing on that. And she's been doing pretty good. She's up to 54, almost ready to ding.
Yeah, you're doing 55. Really good. I was really surprised when I saw you the other day and you're 54.
Yeah, and it was funny, too, because I decided to bring out Trishel. And Trishel is 54. I didn't even realize they were both now the same age, the same level. And it's kind of funny because, of course, Aprillian was, what, I guess 17 when she first saw Shao down in Outland. And I think the Shao...
Ghostland.
The Ghostland, yep. I'm sorry. Yep, the Ghostland in the second area of the Blood Elf. And I think the Shao was 42 at the time. And now because she was on a steed. I remember thinking how beautiful you looked.
That's right. Yeah. So I must have been at least 40. Yeah. Yeah. So I'd gone back down there to help out some guildies kill Knuckle Rotten.
Yeah.
The other dude.
Yeah. So, and now, you know, well, Shale's been 70 forever.
It seems that way.
And Aprilian was you know, in her mid-40s for a long time. So she's been, you know, I've been focusing on playing her mostly in Hinterland, mainly because I can do that while I'm at work and she can get, she can kill stuff and still not, you know, die. Although, you know, I find myself falling in love with a zone and not wanting to leave. Like, I know now she's almost 55. She should be either in the crater or she should be in Silithus. But I love Hinterland. I want...
So have you still got quests to do
that? Well, yeah. I got that whole, what is that, Jin Thalau thing, you know. She actually does have the mallet. She just got to get it turned into the thing for Zolfarak, which is crazy because she doesn't really need to go back there. Ardrian has some quests there, so she might go back there. I'm loving killing the trolls because, you know, I get the cloth. I got so much cloth. And I'm having fun with that. And, oh, and the Primal Mooncloth. You didn't tell me about the buff. You get a nice buff when you do Primal Mooncloth. You get a 1-hour buff that gives you extra... regenerates mana and health every 8 seconds or something.
I've only made one. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it was really cool. I thought it was kind of neat. Of course, when you're doing it, you're out somewhere, so now you got to get back somewhere. Actually, if she could do it in Silithus, it'd be great because there's a moon well there. So, yeah. But primals, my God. I mean, they're so expensive.
Yep. Yeah, I was actually doing the math last night, because the cooldown for... all the cloths came up, and I'm thinking, oh, I should make them. You know, I'm a specialist in spell cloth, so I'll get two for that. Obviously, I'm going to do that.
Right.
But I actually looked at the prices of the primals that I needed and the selling price of the other cloths, and it doesn't work out. No. There's no point making them.
No, it's cheaper to buy them off of AH than it is to...
And unless you're doing the specialization one where you get two for one, you're losing money by making them.
Right. You know, so I gotta get really out to, you know, get enough primal. What is it? Moats to make primals. Mm. You know, so it's crazy.
Yep.
Even on the Alliance, she bought a couple of primal water, but they were kind of expensive. You know, and right now it's okay because Aprilian's getting a level. You know, for making a primal moon cloth, so it's almost kind of worth it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably keep doing it, and while I'm getting skill points,
right.
But after that,
it's
obviously, yeah, it's there if a guildie says, "Hey, can someone make a primal moon cloth cooldown?" Then you know, if they've got the mats, then you know, hey, it's great to help out guildies, but. I'm not going to be doing it for profit, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird because she's been making, to level, she's been making netherweave tunics and vests and stuff.
Yep.
And she gives them to Bale, to DE, and she gets arcane dust, which is cool because you can then take the arcane dust and combine it with the netherweave, bolts of netherweave, and make imbued nether weave to make the primal mooncloth. So that kind of works out.
The circle of the tailoring life.
Yes. And it's nice to, you know, have the alt to shuffle stuff around because, you know, I don't really want to have time to try to find somebody to DE stuff. And so that's kind of nice.
Well, I've got literally a mailbox full of 7 pages of 12, you know, times 12 items in each mail of level 68 stuff to DE.
Ooh, send them to Vale. She'd love to DE you.
Because a lot of the dailies as a quest reward and you get a level 68 green item.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so if you're doing that, you know, with three toons on a bunch of quests that they get that, and it's like that's a lot of level 68 items that are floating around.
Yeah, well, I'm here for you, Ashaya.
All right.
Okay.
So, you can do it at work when you got an hour or four free.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of nice. Sometimes it's slow. I love my job. So, and I'm looking forward to making my first primal mooncloth bag. I know it's I need to get some other stuff, and it's going to be expensive. But what is that? A 20 slot bag? I can deal with that.
Yep.
I got a couple of alts that have just a 16 slot mooncloth bag, because that's not bind on pickup. Because it's kind of, it just,
right.
You know, I have some with the 16 slot imbued netherweave bag. No, that's 18 slots. The netherweave bag itself is bind on pickup too. That's the 16 slot one. But I hate to trade it because, you know, they have to sell it. But, you know, it's two to four more slots makes such a big difference.
Yeah, it all helps.
Yeah. So, let's get into what else I've been doing. Spent some time in Hinterland. I brought into Sister Shell to go into Genthalore, whatever that outdoor. It's not an instance, but there's a lot of quests in there. And I just have a blast in there. I just love pulling all the little trolls. Sometimes the other thing that's nice about dual boxing and, you know, being right at the level that you can kill is it makes you feel more power. It makes you feel powerful. Not that I need to be reaffirmed, but gosh, you know, you get tired of... Sometimes it's nice to be at that edge, but, you know, you have to keep dying.
Yeah, no, it's You feel like you're bragging about it sometimes,
right.
Because effectively, you know, it feels like, hey, I just soloed something. It was like, you know, I was out in Terrakar Forest, and there's this level, I'm not sure what level, maybe 65 elite spider, so you have to kill for a quest,
mm-hmm.
and it says in the quest thing, recommended three players.
Right.
So I'm out there, and you know, like there was no one in the zone. I thought, oh, I'll just give it a go on, you know, a shield,
oh.
I solo this level 65 spider, and it's like, it's a great feeling to be able to do that.
Yeah, it is.
But it feels like you're bragging, but I mean, it's a lot of fun. So.
And it's not an antisocial thing, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, being in groups and doing stuff. And you probably, if you can get groups together and you can actually participate in groups and stuff, it's probably, you know, faster. But, you know, my schedule and my home life doesn't permit me to just spend that amount of concentrated time. And so my alts are just, you know, it's perfect for me, but I'm still, you know, I'm in G chat. I'm still, sometimes I'm even interacting. The other day I was in Hinterland and somebody, said they were going to, they needed help in the trade. No, in general to kill a big spider. And I tell you, sometimes I want to cut, you know, block trade, or I want to block, turn off, general, because people chatter so much. But every once in a while, you know, you get, it's used for what it's meant for, and you find that you know you're glad you had it on. And I ran over and helped a couple of people kill Shadra, that spider, and it was a quest thing that I needed, and it was great. So it's not like I want to play a solo game. I want to be in World of Warcraft with other people. I just can't always participate in the group thing, but it's nice to know that there are so many people around that you can interact with. And of course, you know, you need the AH. You can't run the AH by yourself. So, I had a good time in Hinterland. I completed some quests, did the vessel one. Time ran out and I had to go back. And I almost have to make a choice between whether I'm going to hearth back to Shattrath or ride through the mobs and then ride back to the village there, you know, Ravenstuck village or whatever, Raventusk.
Yep.
And, you know, it's kind of a tough decision because you know you want to come back to the area, But oh, I know one thing I've been doing. You know how that built that place is on series of towers? You have to go upstairs to get to one level and go up some more stairs to get to the next level. The village in the hinterlands. Genthralo or whatever, Genthar.
I've
been jumping the walls. I guess I'm just a couple of, I'm at 54 and I guess it's mostly 48 through maybe 52. So I just run down the stairs, jump a wall, run to the next stairs, jump a wall. It's really makes me feel like I'm Superman or something. It's really cool. But the best fun I had, well, I took Thursday off from work, mainly because I was tired of working and I wanted to do some World of Warcraft stuff. I mean, it's not a bad thing. We get these sick days for a reason and we get to use them. It wasn't like I stayed up all night.
When you're sick?
Yeah. No, you don't want to waste a sick day for when you're sick. It's not like...
I don't think sick of work actually qualifies.
And it's not like I like stayed up all late and then the next morning called, you know, couldn't get up and you know, playing World of Warcraft and then called in sick. I made an arrangement. I told my boss that I wasn't going to come in because I had a doctor's appointment.
Okay. Isn't that like the first, one of the first signs of an addiction?
Yeah. Well, as long as I don't quit my job or get fired. Cause,
yeah, all right.
So, anyways. I decided to go into Scarlet Monastery. I think I had done it once before. Maybe twice before. Once in a group and once following somebody who was level 70, who was killing everything in front of us, and it was very dull and boring and, you know, just, oh.
Yeah, I think you've talked about that before.
Run and pick up the sparklies.
Not much fun.
Yeah. But this time, Audrion actually needed the quest, so we went to the chamber with Lady Sylvanas and Varamoth, and we got the quest there, and we went back and ran back out there. It's kind of funny because, you know, you're running through Brill and there's lower level people running around on foot and you kind of just run right by them, you know, remembering the days when that used to happen to you. So,
yep. Yeah.
So it was me, me. They were all me. Trishel was on her Brewfest ram. She's the orc. Yeah, she's an orc hunter. And Aprilian and Audrion were on their brightly colored chickens. And so, and the thing that I did this time, and so check our YouTube channel because I took a lot of video. I took video in the game. I took video over my over both shoulders to get all three monitors, and I took sound in the game, so I'm going to spend some time.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Is it up yet?
No, I haven't even gotten it all together yet. I still have one on a DV camcorder, and I also have a digital camcorder that's easy to do. It's just just take the SD card out and plug it in, so I just have to get all the stuff together and get it into Final Pro Express. I'm going to try to do a really good production, because the Control Alt Wild channel is full of just basic clips, so check it out. And then we'd like to hear feedback and see if anybody else wants to participate in, you know, contributing to our dual, triple altaholic channel of YouTube-ness. So,
cool.
So it was great. We went into I had no clue. Sometimes I like to read about instances before I go into, like I think tomorrow I'm going to try to go into Mardon out in Desolus. And I think I'm going to read up about it and try to know about it beforehand. But this time, I had no clue. I ran in with the three of us and we went to the first door, the first thing that we could go into. And it turned out that it was, I'm having a...
graveyard?
No.
Library?
Not the library. Yeah, well, which one is Herod in? Herod's in the library? Yeah. Because then you have to get the, because it had all the books and you got the compendium, and that's where we got the key. because we had to go and check out right. Doan. So that went. I mean, that was fantastic. And you know, you got the guy over there with the dogs. We took him out with no hardly any trouble. There was a blue item was a whistle for a dog.
Mm-hmm. I've still got that on Jekyll, I think.
It only has 3 charges on it, and I guess
I've only used it once.
I must have used it once and didn't realize it because now it has 2 left. But I gave it to Aprillian because I figured she would need it the most because she doesn't have an actual pet, just a demon. And then we did Doan, and that was okay. We got the book, we got the key. Then we went to do Herod, and I walked into, it was the weirdest thing. I walked into the chamber, and you know how it has all those steps and everything, and he's standing down in the middle. And I remember thinking, oh my God.
That's not the library.
Oh, then what is that?
That's the armory, isn't it?
Yeah. The armory?
Yeah, that's the armory.
Okay, so we did the library, we got the key, and then we went into the armory. Right. Okay, so I'm combining 2 of them. Sorry. So then we went into the armory, got through. Oh, actually, we got almost up to Herod, and my husband came home from work, and you know there was like a couple, like you know how there are those sets of you got to go through these little catacombs, like you go through and you make a right. And there's a corner, and there's 3 guys standing there.
Yeah, no, whoever designed these buildings, they need to be shot. I mean, really. If you lived there, you'd have to be walking all day to get out of the joint.
So we did all that, and then he walks in, my husband comes home, and Aprillian dies. And, of course, whenever a warlock is about to be overcome, her soul stone expires. She can sit there and kill and kill and be attacked and kill it, and then when there's like just that one more mob that you don't really need to have there, and the soul stone's gone, so she runs back from the graveyard, gets into the instance, and goes, oh look, respawns. So you know there was just no way that she was going to be able to get right. back in. And so I quit for the day, and then this was.
Sometimes you want to be just check it though. Sometimes they're just patrols.
Right, but these were
in those instances.
Yeah, it's been so much time getting through that these were respawned because there was one at each door. You know, they weren't walking; they were standing.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think this must have been Wednesday night. Or Wednesday something. Anyway, so Thursday, we get in. We get up to Herod. We get to the stairwell. And we look down, and they have all the stairs coming around. And he's sitting down in the middle. And I think, oh my God. I actually got a little bit of a nervousness in my stomach.
Didn't want to die.
Well, I just remember doing this before. Remember that once you start fighting him, a whole bunch of people come out?
Yeah.
And I'm like...
But they're like... They're going to look 1 hit point extra or something.
I forgot about that, you know. And I thought it happened again. I don't know. I just remember it being very much harder than it was. We got him down. And, of course, he didn't drop the shoulder, which I was really trying to get that Herod's shoulder for...
Right.
For Audrion, but it was still good. And then we got out of that, and then the next day we went into the cathedral. And it must have been that same day. So then we went to the cathedral, and the cathedral was fun up to the point where I realized that one of the people we wanted to kill was sitting right up there. And I said, well, why don't I just pull that guy?
Yeah, why don't you? Let's find out what happened.
Yeah. So I pulled them, and you know what happened. All these other guys come running. So then I go back in, and I clear everybody first. I think I had to stop, and I think I had to do this another day. And so, oh yeah, because on Friday I did it. And we went back in, and we cleared everyone, and I did it in such a smart, sensible way. Went up one corner, went got the other people in the other corner, used Trishel and Ardrion's fine humanoids. That's the one thing Aprilian misses, is those ability to see mobs on a map.
Hunter tracking.
Yes,
right, yep.
Yes. The easy button. I mean, the hunter button thing. Yeah. I didn't say easy. Because, you know, there is a skill. Because, you know, the trade-off is I don't have to feed my stupid demons.
Right.
It's so much. I do have to watch their health sometimes and do health funnel every once in a while. Oh, the other thing that I learned and that I focused on in this, you know, with my scatter brain kind of playing, I don't necessarily learn all of my skills. And that's what we're going to focus on next week, is how to learn your alts. How to learn to play your alts, because it's very hard. You know, there are a lot of people who just play one character and they really know that character. But when you're switching back and forth between alts, it's kind of hard to know. One of the things that I kept not understanding about was the curse of weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually cheated and got Azeroth Advisor. Have you heard of that?
I have. I've never actually used it.
I did. It's a website that you can subscribe to that sends you hints. And if you're a newbie and you really, or even if you've been around and you just haven't been really studying up on things, all it really does is, one of the basic things it does, is it puts all the information in one spot for you to actually read down that pertains to your class and your level. Yeah,
right.
And I'm not going to advertise for them anymore other than to say if you really want to know about it, go to Azeroth Advisor.
Yeah, it's not free.
No, it's not free. But so one of the things it mentioned for my class was to use Curse of Weakness. And that stops those little humanoids from running and aggroing everybody and bringing all their friends back with them.
No, that's Curse of Recklessness.
Curse of Recklessness, yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, and you have to make sure that once you do it, you don't put any other curse on them. Because you can only have one curse on a mob at a time. There's a lot of rules to remember.
Oh, yeah. Not memory.
Yeah.
The worst was when you're in an instance, and I've only done it a couple of times and literally kicked myself both times, is if you put a Curse of Doom up on a boss, and the Curse of Doom is instant, but it actually only takes effect after 1 minute.
Right.
So you've actually got to wait for that to expire, and a couple of times it's like the Curse of Doom's up, and it's only got a few seconds to go, and I'll accidentally like hit Curse of Agony or something. It's like,
no! So Aprilia has been doing that, and she's gotten really good at it, and they managed to clear, you know. The only thing was, of course, I had forgotten about this Mograine guy. You kill him, and he lays there, and nothing happens, and then this chick comes out, and you have to kill her, and she does her thing. I almost went to kill her, and then I remembered something in the back of my mind. You don't kill this chick, because she has to resurrect this other guy. And then she resurrects him, and then you kill them both. And it was...
I'm not sure you can.
Oh, that you can kill her?
Because... Yeah, because even as a 70, I've hit her with some big spells, and I think it's just fixed when she gets down to a certain percentage health, she just puts everyone to sleep, no matter what your level or anything.
Okay.
So I don't think you can actually accidentally kill her.
Yeah, but it was the whole
happy to be corrected. But.
The whole theatrics, the whole thing, I just love it. I love
Scarlet Monastery. It's you know, if someone says, you know, what's your favorite instance in the game, it'd have to be Scarlet Monastery. I mean, I've run it so many times, but it's just one of those ones you don't get sick of.
Yeah.
I think because it's broken up into the three or four instances, and they're nice and short. They're just fun to run.
And there's there's a variety of mobs. At one point there's elementals, and you know, and there's herbs and mining in
yep.
there.
Yep.
So it's neat. I haven't done the graveyard yet, so I might.
Right.
I don't know if I'm going to do that, because I really want to move on to Moradon.
No, the graveyard's the first one. So if you've already been doing, you know, cathedral, then there's no point going back to doing graveyard.
Okay.
Except for the fun value.
Yeah. And you can have fun in an instant. kind of hot, funny.
It's mandatory. If you're not having fun in Innocence, get out.
Right. So, and again, Aprilian made Primal Mooncloth. So she's really enjoying that. And she's got to get up to 375 to make the bags. And then Sunday, today, I got the field test quest in Tanaris. It's kind of silly for Aprilian to actually be doing it because it's already gray for her. But, you know, she just likes finishing quests. And she's doing it with Audrion, which, again, would be silly. They're not doing it as a party, which it wouldn't matter either way. But they're together, and it's kind of nice.
This is the timed quest,
it's
right?
It's a timed quest.
Yeah. I remember taking one look at that and you know, running all over the place in timed quest and went, nah, abandon.
Well, I'm doing it for two reasons. One is because I want to just see what happens when we did run out of time. So I think we still get to keep the specimens that we've got. And we just have to go and get some wastewater pouches and then get a new power cell for the lab equipment. And then we get to go back.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That'll be interesting. That's where we're at the point where we ran out of time because my husband came home from the grocery store.
Right.
You know, I better stop saying these things. You know, he listens to the podcast, but he's a cool guy.
I hope he does. Yes.
And I was kind of fun, though, because they were both going out together. They were going out side by side and not in group. But what was happening was they were getting their own mobs. And because they're so together, it was a kind of a safety net for Audrion. You know, because sometimes, you know, you can be out there and pull more than one mob. And also, because Audrion's a skinner, and Aprilian just really hates wasting corpses. So while she was killing, and she would kill one and then loot it and kill and be almost into halfway to killing another one while Audrion was killing his first one. And a couple of times she actually did send Thorum, her Felguard. Oh, by the way, that's what I was going to ask you. When do you use your Felguard?
I don't. I don't have one. I'm an affliction
warlock. Oh, you're one of those.
One of those. I'm
sorry, I didn't realize it. I mean, it's okay. You know, you affliction people are great. Well, anyway, no, actually, I'm faking. Why are you affliction?
It just appeals to me.
And what do you get out of being affliction?
More dots.
Oh, so you do more damage instead of depending on your demon.
I do more damage. It's not bursty damage. It's more a lot more damage over time. So, I mean, I can dot up a whole bunch of mobs and just let my Voidwalker tank mobs while I do some mining or something and wait for them all to die.
Oh, okay. Which is nice about, I think I mentioned this before, which is nice about a warlock. All you have to do is dot and you get to loot. You know, if you're a hunter and you even just do a hunter, you know, you do a hunter's mark or even put a one of the serpent stings or the stingers on it or whatever, and your pet kills the mob, you get no loot and no XP.
Mm.
But anyway,
I did some you know, you were mentioning last week about the experience that you get,
mm-hmm,
when you run groups if someone taps a mob. Mm-hmm. So I haven't tested it on a low level, so I'm going to go back and test that. But Ashaya was out there and with the priest, Ashiel,
mm-hmm,
and Ashiel would just put up a dot, just Shadow Word Pain, something like that, and Ashaya would immediately start attacking and, you know, and do, you know, 95% of the damage, and Ashiel always got the kill. She always got to loot it and skin it, and, you know, I was the amount of experience I was getting didn't go down as I expected it to.
Yeah.
You know, I was consistently getting 1,000 experience points per kill.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go back and try it as a lower level and see what the difference is with grouped and ungrouped with lower levels as well. But and it seems to be it almost, I mean, it's a bit hard to say conclusively, but it almost seems to be that it's whoever started casting first gets to tag the mob, because even if I on a show went to do a 3 second shadow bolt or something like that,
right,
while that's casting, do an instant cast on the priest, a Shao's still got the mob.
Oh, okay, yeah. So it has to do with who
like
starts.
It's like the server says, "Oh, I can see that this, you know, this tune's started casting, hasn't gone off yet, and someone else has, you know, done an instant cast over the top of it." Doesn't matter. It's still who it seems to be who started casting first. So, yeah, if anybody's got any conclusive evidence to back that up or refute that, I'd be interested in hearing about it.
Okay, so the only other thing I had to add today is, oh, I want to hear about anybody else who does triple boxing in instances and what you think about it, and whether or not you think it's is it an unfair advantage, or is it a way that people just can play? And did we have anything else that you want to talk about?
Not for today. Not for today.
Okay. All right. So that brings us to another end of Control Alt WoW. And you can write us at controlaltwoW@gmail.com. That's CTRLALTWW@gmail.com. You can find us on iTunes. We'd love for you to go and give us a review and let us know what you think. We're doing a different way of recording today, so I hope the sound would be a little bit better, and you can write us and let us know about that. And we'd like to hear from you on Skype. You can call us at Control Alt WoW. That's our Skype address. Did I touch on all the fine points?
Oh, I think you did.
Okay.
And just again, look us up on YouTube, and if those videos aren't there, then be sure to mail Aprilian and give her a hard time about it.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely get that up. All right, so this is, oh, and hopefully, I did hear from Glanther. He hasn't sent us a segment, but I ran into him on my alley, because, you know, he's doing his Alliance guy.
Still playing then.
Yeah, he's getting in some time. He's actually gotten caught up on getting enough money for his epic mount. So last time I talked to him, he was 800 short. And
that might take
long. No, he's doing daily, so. So he's probably flying epically as we speak. So if you are and you're listening, give us a holler. Let us know how you're doing. And again, we appeal to any of you out there who are Alliance. We'd love to hear your side of all this and how you feel about Scarlet Monastery or whatever. Because I know you guys can, they can get into that, can't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
All right. So this is Aprilian for the Horde.
And this is a show for the Horde.
It's been real.
May you always be victorious.
May the gates of Quel'Thalas be open to you. Always.
May our paths cross again.
Catch you later.
Al Dir Shalah.
Go in peace.